All right, so 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'll read a couple verses there. Verse 21 is where we'll start. If you're there, say amen. And when he had consulted, this is Jehoshaphat, with the children, or with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise, notice that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Now that was an enemy of a trinity of cities there. Notice that. Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were what? Defeated or smitten. All right, notice that. Now, come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And one more verse, same book, 2 Corinthians 11, just turn a few pages, and verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, this is Paul speaking, the care, or actually you can look in the Greek and it means the pressures of all the churches, the care, the pressures of all the churches. I want to just share for a few minutes tonight from these passages on the subject, turning my pressure into my praise. Turning my pressure into my praise. Father, here tonight, thank you for being with us. Thank you for your promised presence. Speak to us in this passage, Lord, in these several passages that we've shared together, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in Christ's name. All God's children shout amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Anybody in here ever been under pressure? Anybody in here been under pressure? How about folks in the back? You've been under pressure before? Well, another question. We got any snake lovers in here? Good. I'm glad I don't see any hands. I was going to pray for you, first of all. But thought I might tell you to excuse yourself momentarily because this is a graphic illustration. It's going to get ugly. Because recently I found some instructions on how to react, Brother Don, how to react to a hungry python if you ever encounter one. These instructions were actually given to Peace Corpsmen who were serving in Brazil. Their instructions went like this. I guess this was in their manual. I'm not sure, but I guess it went like this. This is what it read. It says, remember not to run away because the python can move faster than you. So it says, the thing to do is lie down flat on the ground on your back with your feet together, arms at your side, and your head laid back. It says the python will then try to push its head under you, experimenting at every possible point. And then it says, keep calm. Yeah, right. And that was, keep calm was underscored. It says, and I continue to quote, you must let him swallow your feet. It is quite painless, and it will take a long time. If you lose your patience and struggle against him, he will quickly wrap his coils around you. So you basically need to play dead. If you keep calm and still, he will go on swallowing. Wait patiently until he has swallowed up to about your knees. Then carefully take out your weapon, it says knife. Here's where it gets ugly. Hope the little ones are back there with Kids Connection. It says, then take out your knife and insert it into the distended side of his jaw, and with a quick rip, slit it. That's the best way to conquer getting eaten by a python. Got any volunteers for that activity? Anybody? Going once, going twice. Sister Mary, did y'all see your hand up? I read that and I said, you talk about some pressure and trying to have patience when you're under that kind of pressure. Come on, anybody ever been under pressure? I mean, real pressure. I'm talking about the type of pressure that makes you break out in a sweat. Keeps you up at night. I've read that there are many people who are actually living their lives daily, walking around with heart conditions, all because of the pressure they are dealing with. These people cannot enjoy their family and friends because of pressure. They cannot have effective and meaningful relationships because of pressure. They cannot be fully engaged in their church affairs because of the pressures. They cannot enjoy their God-given talents and callings because of the pressure they experience. Statistics tell us that all kinds of pressure has caused a lot of individuals to take their own lives. It's pressure that has led to a lot of divorces. They say a lot of pastors quit the ministry because of pressure. Intrinsic pressure is part and parcel of our nature as human beings, and it doesn't help that we live in a very fast-paced, fast food, what's next kind of society. And as a matter of fact, more and more people are becoming depressed, they say, due to social pressures, like the pressure to get married. There's the pressure to be rich. There's the pressure to be the best. There's the pressure to have the latest and the finest. There's pressure at school. There's pressure in the home. There's pressure at the workplace. There's pressure to pay bills. There's pressure. Somebody say pressure, pressure, pressure. And when all this pressure, with all this pressure that some folks are dealing with, it's no wonder why. Folks, have you driven lately and experienced any road rage? Pressure. Telling you, I was going down to Speedway. To get me one of those 69-cent Polar Pops. And I pulled my truck in there in the parking spot and went in and got me a Polar Pop. Came back out, my phone rang, and I was just taking my time because I was talking on the phone. And I didn't need to be distracted backing out. Well, I didn't know there was a dear lady, a dear female, waiting on my parking spot. And boy, she rolled down her window and unleashed her fury. Hello. And it's not godly for me to repeat what she said. I'm talking about pressure. I don't know what it was that pushed her over. Hey, young people, how about Wendy's the other night? We was all down there just having a good time fellowshipping, and one family didn't like it. Man, they just unleashed their fury. I mean, this poor old gentleman, his wife was kind of the main. Well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? I'm picking on the ladies. I'm not really meaning to. But before they left, he basically challenged all of us guys, if we had a problem with him, come out in the parking lot. Right? And I mean, he didn't look healthy, I'll tell you that. I look a whole lot more healthy than he does. He did. I'm talking about pressure. So how many know there's some pressure you can't avoid? Well, three people know that. Well, let me tell the rest of you, there are some pressures in life you can't avoid. But Scripture reveals to us a way to make the best out of our pressure. And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, you turn that pressure into praise. What do you mean by that? Well, when the end of the paycheck comes, or the end of the month comes and the paycheck is dwindling and the pressure is on, you got to pay these certain bills, you know, you feel like you're choking. Anybody been there financially? Take all that nervous pressure, beloved, and begin to just take a moment and step away from that and begin to praise God for a breakthrough. Why? You're saying, I'm not experiencing a breakthrough. Yes, but you serve a God who's able to give you a breakthrough because He has promised to meet all your needs. Praise God. And when you're facing deadlines at the workplace and the pressure is on and you can't get to sleep for thinking about all you got to accomplish the next day at the workplace, you just may have to roll over and give the Lord some praise. Let me tell you, the greater your pressure, the greater your praise should be. I'm going to repeat that. I said the greater your pressure, the greater your praise should be. The more stress you have, the more praise you should be releasing. And the more trouble you are facing, the more you need to cry out to God. And see, if our situation is ever going to change, we have to learn to turn those pressures into praise. If our midnight is ever going to turn into day, we have to learn to turn that pressure into praise. If our sadness is ever going to turn into joy, we have to learn to turn that pressure into praise. Because the more uncontrollable our pressure is, the more radical our praise should become. Listen, when the pressure is so intense and you feel like you are losing your mind, go way down deep into the inner recesses of your soul, beloved, and praise as if you've got a great big blessing just over the threshold, the next door you walk through in your life. Why? Because there's power in praise, and God inhabits. He dwells there. He lives there. And I want to be where He's at. Praise God. Why don't you just take a moment and praise Him right now? Come on, church, let's praise Him right here. Let's take a little praise break. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for in the middle of my hardship, you're still faithful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Now the Apostle Paul, we went over into the New Testament, he recounts his hardships to the church at Corinth. And in it, Paul talks about the great pressure that he suffered while in the province of Asia. He said this was pressure far beyond his ability to endure. He said it was so great a pressure that he despaired even for his life. And it's interesting that Paul would say that he despaired even to his life, because in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he proclaims, "We are pressed on every side, but not crushed; perplexed, but not in despair." So you want to say, Paul, which is it? Are you in despair or not? Are you under pressure or not? Well, obviously, Paul's situation did not change, but his outlook did. And so by the time we get to the fourth chapter of his letter, Paul had learned how to, evidently, he had learned how to turn his pressure into praise. And there's a couple things, let's go about maybe three, that we need to know about in turning our pressure to praise. Number one, we must look to God in the midst of our pressure. We must look to God in the midst of our pressure. How many know that's what Daniel did when he was in the lion's den? How many know that's what the three Hebrew boys did when they were in the fiery furnace? And that's what the Israelites did when they were faced with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. Listen, here's the key. Don't focus on where the pressure is coming from. Focus on who the praise is going to. Hello? I felt as I just put this together, that just was spoke to my spirit. Don't focus on where the pressure is coming from. Focus on who your praise is going to. Listen, so we must look to God in the midst of the pressure. Number two, we must give glory every day in everything. Some pressures are designed to keep us holy. Hello. Sometimes it takes the mountain. Hello. Sometimes it takes the desert. I said some pressures are designed to keep us holy. Newsflash, pressures is what keeps us on our knees. Hello. Most of the time, the greater the pressure, the greater our prayer life is. So number two, we must give glory every day in everything. Number three, we must use our praise as a release valve to let off the pressure that's building up in our lives. Now, you say, where's your foundation for that? Throughout the book of Psalms, God's people, even in the worst of circumstances, are exhorted to praise the Lord. Actually, they're exhorted to shout unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. This is a Pentecostal church. You see, when the children of Israel marched around Jericho, they were told specifically to verbally shout to the Lord on that seventh time, and then it says, then the walls would come down. Sometimes you have to shout some praise. Hello. In order to bring down, though, maybe it's a wall of debt, maybe it's a wall of disappointment, discouragement, and heartache. And that's one of the reasons why, hallelujah, it's one of the reasons I like Pentecostal worship services. Huh? Because after a few days of pressure, we get to come in the house of God. And we begin to let off some of that pressure that's built up in our lives. Huh? And we turn that pressure into praise. Huh? We get to come here and we get to praise ye the Lord, the psalmist says. And even though we know the pressures of life are basically still waiting for us at the door, I understand that, but we get to use those disappointments, we get to use those hurts, we get to use those financial setbacks and turn them into a few moments of uninterrupted praise to our God. Listen, so please excuse the church member maybe across the aisle. If you see them praising like a mad man, you don't know how much pressure they've had to deal with this week. Please excuse me if you see some tears coming down my cheeks. I worship my Savior. I'm not sad. I'm just turning some of my pressure into some praise, and I'm finding it's refreshing.
At the end of the day, I may not be able to prevent the pressures of life from invading my world, but I sure can enough control what I do with those pressures. I'm going to turn them into praise. I said I'm going to turn them into praise. If anyone understood that concept, Paul did. He said, I've been pressed out of measure, but he said, I'm not destroyed. Why? Because he turned his pressure into praise. Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Woo! I'm feeling good tonight. I'm talking about how many's been under pressure before? Huh? God's been under pressure. Huh? It's already been mentioned how the Ramey family been under pressure. How many's been under pressure over here? Huh? You know what pressure is, Miguel. I didn't think you did. There's not a one of us in here tonight that doesn't know what pressure is. We are all under pressure. Huh? In 2 Corinthians 11:28, we have the record of Paul's dealing with that pressure. He says, the cares that come upon me daily. How many can say, Paul, I kind of know what you mean. When it came to the doctrine, the discipline, the direction that he provided for the churches, the pressure of duty was one he could not evade. It was one that he could not escape. However, it was a pressure in which he learned to perform well. Huh? If you're going to perform well under pressure, it's going to be because you've learned the key to processing that pressure into praise. Some people simply, we know, how many know people that can't handle pressure? They just melt. They just wilt. And the difference is determined by the material by which they have made their lives out of. Huh? Because in the depths of water, the same pressure which pushes iron to the bottom is the same pressure that will lift a cork to the surface. Hello? The difference between iron and a cork is the difference is determined by the material by which it's made from. Amidst the decisions and the demands and the deadlines of life, there are a few things that we need to remember when we turn our pressure into praise. Number one, may we remember that pressure reveals the depth of our character. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul wrote, he said, we're troubled on every side. The word trouble means to press hard upon in the Greek. It's the picture of pressing grapes or olives for the valuable juices to be squeezed out. Like squeezing a sponge, pressure does not make a man as much as it will expose the substance of what that man has got in him. Huh? Gideon may have felt disadvantaged. He may have felt inadequate. But pressure revealed just what the angel called him, you're a mighty man of valor. King Saul may have stood taller than all Israel, but pressure would later reveal that he was actually a dwarf in his heart. Hello. Have you ever wondered how fish are able to cope in the ocean depths under the same water pressure? They say that if we would go to the depths that those fish swim to, that our human body would actually be crushed. They're able to function because of an internal counter pressure that they say is equal to the external pressure. Perhaps that's what the psalmist had in mind when he wrote Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." I need something internally. If I'm going to withstand the pressure from the outside, I need something on the inside. A life undergirded by truth is a life that is reinforced to withstand collapse under any degree of pressure. And so when the damage that the pressure threatens to do to us is matched by the work that God does in us, there will always be hope of success and survival. Because how many of you seen you've picked up an aerosol can and you read the manufacturer's label that says, "Warning, contents under pressure." Now, it's not necessarily the product in the can as much as it is the propellant that is used to get the product out of the can. You see, after that, let's use, for example, that good-smelling air freshener. After it is poured into the can, they must put a propellant in there as well, right? So that when you hit the nozzle, what's in the can shoots out. That's how it is with us. There are things in us, God knows, that won't come out until God applies a little pressure to us. Hello. For example, maybe some gifts and abilities can lay dormant in us until God adds a little pressure and causes a hello. Sometimes all that we need to be more than we are is a little bit of pressure. We think of pressure as something to be avoided. You know, how many don't like high pressure salespeople? Hello. Did I lose you on that? You stop and you look at a car lot, and I mean, your hand is on the door. You're not even out of the car yet. And there's a guy ready to make you the sale of the day. Huh? That there just kind of turns my wife and I off. We're just like, start the car. Let's pull out. See you. Have a nice day. No, we're not that bad. But we talk about being stressed out. How many has ever had stress at work? Pressure at the workplace? But how many know pressure is a powerful tool? Well, for example, a pressure washer. That can be an indispensable tool if you want to clean something good, right? Pressure in your tires, your vehicle tires, is the pressure in those tires that help you drive smoothly over bumpy roads. It's the pressure in the earth's crust. They say that over time can actually transform coal into diamonds. Listen, folks, pressure reveals the depth of our character. May God help us to have godly character, that every time we get a little under pressure, hello. Have you ever met somebody and they've snapped at you? Hello. Quit looking at your spouse. And later, they'll come back and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to snap at you like that. It's just that I'm feeling a little pressured right now." All right? It happens. Let's remember, number two, that pressure will not only reveal the depth of your character, but it will reveal the direction of our course. In Acts chapter 18 and 5, Paul stood to preach to the opposing Jewish crowd in Corinth. It says, because he was pressed in the Spirit. The Spirit of God called him, ministered to him, and said, I put this burden on you. I want you to preach to these folks. And the word press there in the Greek carries the idea of something held together by pressing on all sides to accomplish a desired result. It's the picture, here's the picture in the Greek, of cattle being pressed into a cattle squeeze so that medicine can be administered. And Paul knew what to do and when to do it because of the pressure that the Holy Spirit had applied to his soul. And it was pressure that I believe from Mordecai that gave Esther the courage to do what was right. It was pressure from the belly of a sick fish that propelled Jonah toward obedience, right? It was pressure from the crowd that compelled Pilate to set God's plan of redemption in motion. Howard Taylor, who was the son of missionary Hudson Taylor, he said this is what he learned from his dad. And I quote, he said, "It doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between me and God or whether it presses me nearer to the heart of God." Oh, may that always be the case. Because God sometimes uses that pressure. He has God-pressed moments that are never anything more than grace under fire. And so let's remember that. Number three, remember that pressure will reveal the decisiveness of our commitment to God. The date was December 23rd, 1776. General George Washington's Continental Army stood on the banks of the half-frozen Delaware River. On the other side of the river was a force of German mercenaries known as, Hessians. And the army had already suffered several defeats in battle. They were cold. They were hungry. It was 3 days before Christmas, and they were homesick. And it was at this point that General Washington went before his army, his troops, and he opened the little book written by Thomas Paine entitled Common Sense. And he read these words to all of his discouraged troops. He said, "These are times that try men's souls." And Washington went on to describe what he called summer soldiers. And he went on to describe what he called sunshine patriots who lose heart in times of crisis. Washington didn't try to sugarcoat it. He didn't try to show them that things weren't as bad as they thought they were, that they weren't as cold and as hungry and homesick as they thought they were. No, he laid it out there plainly. He said, "These are times that try men's souls." 3 days later, on Christmas night, Washington and that group of soldiers had got enough courage to cross the Delaware, took the enemy army by surprise, and changed the course of the war. And when others heard what Washington's soldiers had done during those times that tried their souls the most, it says they inspired others, and the army grew. Others were joining, volunteering to serve under General Washington. And I read that, and I thought, you know, when others see us turn our pressure into praise, it's going to inspire them to do the same.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul says, we're troubled on every side. He said, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, though, he said, nevertheless. Paul knew when pressure is rushing in at every port, a man will either die in his faith or he will die for his faith. And those who excel under pressure are those whose minds are already made up long before the crisis arrives. Hello. When Job, it's already been mentioned, when Job was pressured by his circumstances to desert God, he still held fast his integrity. Listen, when Daniel was pressured to be disloyal to his God, it's noted that innocency was still found in him. When Christ felt the crushing pressures of sin in Gethsemane, he cried out, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at in times of challenge and controversy." Listen, a decisive heart is one that has burned the bridges of retreat and says, "I cannot back off, I cannot back up, and I will not back down. This pressure may be strong, but I'm going to turn it into praise, and I'm going to see what God is going to do." As I've heard it said, it's how you show up at the showdown that really counts. I said, it's how you show up at the showdown that really counts. And even so, praising God is not the obvious response to our problems. I understand that. But nevertheless, Jehoshaphat found in 2 Chronicles that turning your pressure into praise will win some battles if you'll go ahead and worship God even while the enemy is camped at your door. Praise God. When the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the folks from Mount Seir teamed up to attack Judah, God's people, Jehoshaphat went to seeking God. And here's how the battle went down. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah," he said of Jerusalem, "have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets," and he said, "you will be successful." And after consulting the people, it says he appointed men to sing unto the Lord and to praise him in the splendor of his holiness. And it says, as those praisers were moved to the forefront of the battle, and they went there saying, "giving thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Can you imagine singing a song saying, "his love endures forever"? Ever when the enemy is putting their bullseye on you? Listen, friends, but as they begin to turn their pressure into praise, the Bible says the Lord set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who were invading Israel, and God began to fight the battle. And the men of Ammon and Moab rose up one against the other and began to annihilate themselves. They begin to slaughter themselves. And when the men of Judah come and looked over from the mountain, it says all they saw lying on the ground was dead enemy soldiers. And they did not have to fire a shot. They didn't have to swing a sword. The battle was won. Only the enemy had to fight it. Judah was victorious because they turned their pressure into praise. Praise God. Somebody turn some pressure into praise right here. I said, somebody take a little bit of that pressure you felt in your home and let's turn it into praise tonight and just see what God can do. Praise God. I just feel like praising him. I said, I just feel like praising him. Woo! How many mothers we got in the house tonight? Mom, raise your hands. They say when mothers are about to give birth to their little one, the pressure, hello, the pressure brings excruciating pain. However, what enables a mother to endure the effects of the pressure is the fact that her heart is fixed on the outcome produced by the pressure. Huh? And therein lies the great secret to performing well under pressure. In Philippians 4:13, Paul wrote, he said, "I can do all things through Christ, When pressure arose, Paul remained focused on the Christ-likeness that pressure would ultimately produce in him. And a heart fixed on such an outcome will never miss the bullseye in making a gold medal saint. Folks, we need some gold medal saints. And I said, you only become a gold medal saint when the pressure has been applied. Life has a way of applying the pressure. But I want you to know, in the midst of your pressure, oh, please listen and remember what Pastor Jones says tonight. Don't ever let your pressure steal your praise. I said, don't ever let your pressure steal your praise. Because when you praise him, I'm about finished. He's getting the glory. And you are saying to the pressure, listen, pressure, you may be mounting, you may be surmounting, but you're not going to break my spirit. I said, I will not let this pressure break my spirit. I choose, I decide, I'm going to turn this pressure into some, I'm going to turn it into some praise. And I know it's enough pressure to cause me to explode. But before you explode, before you backslide, before you get bitter, I want to tell you, you need to break out in some praise. And say, yes, the devil may be mad because the pressure he applied was intended to cause your mind to snap. But listen, instead of that pressure driving you crazy, it drove you to praise in God. And yes, there are times, I feel good. Am I putting you to sleep? I'm almost done. Sister Jones, come. Sweetie pie, honey, come. There are times when I've just had to wait on the Lord. But I want to say something. While I was waiting, I could either focus on the pressure or I could focus on the praise. And while I was waiting, I decided I might as well not complain. I might as well praise. While I'm waiting, I don't even think about backsliding. I'm going to praise him. Woo. Sometimes I've had to wipe away tears and just praise him while I was broken. Hello, you've been there. Why? Because I decided to turn my pressure into my praise. Remember, folks, in good times, you need to thank God. In hard times, you need to seek God. But in all times, we need to praise God. Hallelujah. I said, in good times, yes, we thank God. In hard times, we seek God. But in all times, we learn to praise God. Why? Because we take our pressure and we turn it into praise. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him right now where you're at. Somebody praise him right now where you're at. You got any pressure in your life? Says, anybody got any pressure in your life tonight? Woo! You say, Pastor, you don't even know the pressure I'm under. You're right, I don't. But you know what I do know? You should be one of the loudest ones worshiping God. You should be one. I know it's not all in the shout. Please, I know it's not all in the shout. And I may need to rephrase that. You may not be one of the loudest ones, but you just may be one of those that silently cry or just silently let God work in your heart. But I'm telling you, however you react to that pressure, some way let God get some praise. I said, somehow let God get some glory. Why? Because you made a decision in the middle of my pressure. I'm going to praise God. Praise him right now. Would you just raise your hands and come across the front, and let's just pick up where we left off in our worship service and just praising the Lord in the beauty of his presence, in the beauty of his glory, in the beauty of his holiness. Oh, that's it. I feel just invite you to come and praise Him. Just come and praise Him. Listen, folks, yes, there's pressure. There's pressure in your house. There's pressure in your workplace. There's pressure at your job. There's pressure in your relationships. There's pressure maybe between you and your spouse. Ooh, I want us to just turn that pressure for just a few moments into some praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Let Him work in your heart. Let Him work in your heart. Father, I praise you. Father, I praise you. Father, I praise you. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it, beloved. That's it, brother and sister. Just praise God for just a few moments before you leave.
And I never lost my joy.
I never lost my joy.
I never lost my faith, but most of all, I never lost my praise. Oh, I never
glorify Him. Lord, this is for you. I'm praising you in the midst of my pressures. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I never lost my faith, but most of all.